Welcome to Technology and the Arts, a bi-weekly podcast exploring the connections between the worlds of technology and art. In this installment, we'll share some interesting news, websites, and online resources we have come across recently, including ratebeer.com, the new Forms feature in Google Docs, Improv Everywhere, and the demise of the HD DVD format. Plus, we'll talk more about Microsoft's bid to acquire Yahoo and a Flickr users group that has emerged to protest the proposed deal. We'll talk about all of this and more just ahead on Technology and the Arts for Wednesday, February 20th, 2008. Now, here are your hosts, Brian Kelly and John Lemazny.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of the Technology and the Arts podcast. As always, Technology and the Arts seeks to explore the connections between technology and art and to establish a forum for discussing the impact technology has made on the human creative process and on literature, music, and the visual and interactive arts.
And to let you know who we are, my name is Brian Kelly. I'm a journalist by trade, amateur songwriter, musician, and science and technology enthusiast living in central New Jersey.
And my name is John Lemazny. I'm a father, artist, student, musician, poet, and technologist living in New Jersey.
John and I are recording this conversation via Skype because I still haven't recovered from our Triumph Brewpub outing a couple of weeks ago. John, it's good talking to you again. How have you been?
Very, very good, Brian. Glad to hear from you. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing well, John. What you been up to lately?
Well, the most recent thing I'm sort of excited about is I went on my first trip to a casino in Atlantic City in my life, and didn't spend a red cent because gambling's not really my thing, but I wanted to give a shout out to my buddy Sean, DMR, Ron, Ziggy, and Suki. We had a fantastic time, and I'm looking forward to doing something like it sometime in the near future.
Which casino did you go to?
We named the one we didn't go to. We went to the Tropicana, we went to Caesars, we went to, what's the big purple thing?
Borgata. Okay, did you go to Taj Mahal?
We did not go to Taj Mahal. We walked like the length of the boardwalk just about. We went to a place called the Irish Pub that's down sort of like at one end.
I have been there before.
Oh yeah, it's a nice little place. And we visited a couple really great places, Tita in the Tropicana, a whole bunch of stuff. We had a lot of fun.
Excellent.
Yeah, so the thing that's been going on at Rider University as far as training recently, of course, I managed the technology training program at Rider, and we've been doing this ongoing email training. Going fantastically. We finally have started getting around to faculty members, and so it's been a little bit different because they're a different audience, but still very successful, I think, and email transition is going pretty smoothly. I wanted to remind everybody that in March, if you keep an eye on our blog at techarts.wordpress.com and lemazny.com, you'll see upcoming shows for Trenton Computer Festival, the Brookdale Computer Users Group, Princeton Public Library, and other little events and happenings that I'll be presenting at. Some of the topics will be weight and technology related, and some of them will be image technology related, some of them will be server technology related, all fun stuff. How about you, Brian?
Well, I went ice skating at Mercer County Park here in Mercer County, New Jersey, a couple nights ago. It was only the second time in my life, really the third time, but the first time I was very young and we had to leave the rink about 5 minutes in because my sister fell and sustained a concussion. But, it was my second real time ice skating and the first time since, I don't know, must have been about 8 years. And I'm happy to report that I only fell a couple of times, and that was only because some kids skated into my path. Once I'm on the ice, I'm pretty good, but the one thing I'm not very good at is stopping. So, once people get in my way, it's, you just have to get out of the way. but that was fun, and actually, by the time this podcast goes online, I will have gone skiing for the first time in my life. And knowing my coordination and my capacity for injury, if I come away with a hairline fracture of some somewhat non-essential bone, I'm thinking that's going to be best case scenario. And John, I just want you to know that if anything happens to me on the slopes, feel free to carry on with the podcast.
Oh, I certainly will, but I'm sure you'll be fine, Brian.
Somebody suggested that, I bring a video camera, so any ski-related bloopers of mine can be shared among the internet universe, and so they can laugh at my expense.
But, yeah, I'm thinking helmet cam.
Yeah, I should look into that. But that's about it on my end of things, John. Anything related to technology and the arts you would like to talk about this week?
Absolutely. One of the sort of interesting things that I've been trying to do recently is I've been trying to study the vocabulary of beer. And I've talked about this a couple times on the podcast. And of course, we visited Triumph so that we could try out some nice craft beers.
Where you were studying the glasses of beer very closely.
Yeah, I absolutely was. I actually wrote down a whole bunch of information about each of the beers that we had at Triumph, and I pretty much do that no matter what. I don't drink an awful lot of beer all the time, but when I do, I like to enjoy it. And so, I've moved on from drinking the average American Pilsners like Budweiser, and I've really gotten into these craft beers like Hop Devil. Victory's a great brewery. Stone is one of my favorite breweries.
Unless, of course, the Budweiser is free.
Well, that was really before my transformation.
Okay.
But I don't think I would waste all that. I would waste all that time drinking that particular beer. It, I'm sure it was fine, but one of the problems with Budweiser is that they're not looking to impress you. They're looking to give you a relatively average. They're like the McDonald's of
exactly.
The culinary world,
Exactly.
So there's nothing wrong with that. Every once in a while, everybody likes to enjoy a hamburger and fries, but every once in a while, you want a really good steak. And so there are thousands upon thousands of breweries out there trying to give you a really good steak, and I've been trying to find the really great steaks. Triumph has one or two. And I really like their Bengal IPA. is a pretty enjoyable IPA, and I favor IPAs. I really like hoppy beers. So in light of this, I have started an account at ratebeer.com, and I've been putting up my ratings for beers with little excerpts of my. I have a personal beer wiki that I essentially keep just on my computer, where I rate beers and I talk about the way that the senses are affected by beer, like the way that it looks, the way that it smells, the way that you taste it, the way that it feels, and you don't really hear beer, but the other senses are definitely affected by beer. You can really enjoy it more. If you're looking at it, you're smelling it, you're tasting it, you're feeling it, the weight and the way that the mouthfeel is and things like that. So I've been learning about that, and I've been recording all these things to a wiki, and I've taken the contents of the wiki, put it up on Ratebeer so that I can share it with the world in a particular way. And it just goes again to show that technology is one of those ways that you can share great information about something that you're really interested in, share it with the world, share it and record it yourself in a really interesting way. So between ratebeer.com and my local wiki, I've really started this dialogue, about beer. But I just wanted to note that I have used in the past and probably will set up again a WordPress H-rating plugin that allows you to essentially do a rating system on a blog post, and I think it would be a really great way to rate beer, but I'll probably just start another WordPress blog specifically for that, because I feel like rate beer is great, and it gives you an opportunity to do that whole community thing, And the local wiki is nice because it's just local and I'm sort of keeping it to myself. But using WordPress and having all those abilities like RSS feeds, etc., right inside WordPress means that I can do certain things that I can't do either on the wiki or on rapier.com. So just some interesting things going on in the culinary and brewery aspects of my enjoyment of life right now, and especially having to do with technology. I also wanted to talk about Google Docs spreadsheets now has a sharing feature where you can create a form in order to allow others that you invite to populate your spreadsheet. So, for example, I might be interested in seeing who's going to attend one of my presentations before it happens, which happens at Rider University all the time. I want to know who's going to come so that I can have some idea of what to expect. So I might create a spreadsheet in Google Docs and then create a form as a way of sharing that, and it actually creates an email that gets sent out from Gmail, and you can fill out the forms right inside Gmail.
Cool.
And then hit submit, and it automatically fills out the form, fills out the spreadsheet. And you can do all sorts of things with that, with those fields. You can make them into paragraph fields. You can add a multiple choice. I mean, you could even have like a quiz or something and use Google Docs and spreadsheets in order to retain the results of the quiz.
Excellent.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
I'll check that out.
Yeah, it's you start to find uses for it pretty quickly after you see what it can do. And it just simplifies. I mean, for anybody who's ever written a form in HTML, they know how difficult it can be if you are not familiar with HTML. And this really simplifies that process. And since we're all using Gmail and Google accounts already, it's another way that Google is making inroads into everyday use by millions of people. I wanted to mention tagcloud.com. I've came across this because I saw a really great tag cloud, and at the bottom of the tag cloud it said, you know, created at tagcloud.com. So I clicked on it and found out that you can essentially upload a document, a text-based document, and it will automatically do a tag cloud on that document. So, for example, if you want to see how many times terrorist, the word terrorist shows up in the State of the Union, and you want to see how many times the word terrorist shows up in something else comparatively, visually comparatively, you can use tagcloud.com in order to help you to do that. I actually, on lemazni.com, have a tag cloud that was analyzing my front page on lemazni.com. Kind of interesting. Improveverywhere.com shows a collection of performance artists that follow a script, and usually the script has to do with some event. It's almost like Happenings from the 60s. And one example of Improv Everywhere is they all showed up at a Best Buy, all in blue shirts and tan pants. Like 200 or 300 people just all showed up at Best Buy in blue shirts and tan pants, you know, the average uniform of a Best Buy employee. And they planned on, if people approached them for help, they would help them in a really over-the-top way. And their most recent one, the most recent happening or performance was they all went into Times Square, or no, Grand Central Station, and decided to stand still in whatever position they were at a particular time for exactly 5 minutes. And then after 5 minutes passed, they suddenly started moving again. And while the 5 minutes was going on, people just sort of freaked out. And we're like, why is this happening? Is this going to be like an attack? Like, you know, but at the end of the 5 minutes, when people realized that it was not anything malevolent, but it was all benevolent, and people just started moving again, everybody clapped. Everybody applauded in the entire place. It was really an amazing piece of video. You should go check out improveverywhere.com. I wanted to mention that the latest web trend map of 2008 is now available. If you're not familiar with Web Trend Map, it's a visual metaphor for what's going on the internet right now as far as, you know, industries and companies and who are the big players and what and so forth. And it's in the format of a Tokyo subway map. And it's just a really cool visual representation of what's going on in the internet right now. I wanted to mention that Shepard Fairey, the artist, the visual artist who's most recognized for his Andre the Giant has a posse sort of graffiti-based sticker and other formats movement, visual movement, where that you know the Andre the Giant has a posse sort of showed up on all kinds of objects all over cities everywhere. He is the latest poster designer for the Obama campaign, where he created a couple of posters that are just remarkable to look at. I mean, whether or not you're for Barack Obama, you should look at these just for the visual, impact that they have. Really beautiful, really reminiscent, in fact, of a lot of propaganda posters, but just beautiful posters. I guess you could find that at shepherdfairey.com, but we'll make sure to put notes in the show notes. Big news, Yahoo has turned down the Microsoft bid, and so all of our fears are currently on hold, but Microsoft has more money than anybody else, so it's probably a short time before Yahoo accepts some bid. They'll at least be richer, but that doesn't make me feel any better about it.
Right, and you know Yahoo's going to be pressured to do something because they're struggling, and right now Microsoft's the only player in the pool, really. And
yep,
it's just a matter of time before this thing goes through. Hopefully, someone somewhere comes to Yahoo's rescue. But at least they did turn down the bid. I think they even know that once Microsoft gets its hands on the company, it's what Yahoo stands for is it's just.
I mean, is it even possible to think that there's like a Yahoogle out there?
Right. I mean, Yahoo did bring that up, trying to strike an alliance with Google to overthrow Microsoft, but that would never get by.
No, of course not, because it eliminates every form of competition.
Right. So
it's anti-competitive to the maximum. Finally, I just wanted to mention that one of my visual idols, Jasper Johns, the fantastic pop/abstract expressionist, he's not abstract expressionist at all, but he's just an amazing modernist painter. He has a show called Gray at the Met that's really a retrospective show. I've seen his other retrospective show that happened at the Museum of Modern Art in the 90s. And just an amazing artist. I mean, anybody who is interested in the least in modern visual art and postmodern visual art, for that matter, has to go see this Jasper Johns retrospective. How about you, Brian?
Well, I don't have a lot to talk about this week. I would like to start out by talking about the two more nails that have been hammered into HD DVD's coffin, and that is Best Buy and Netflix having announced plans to drop the high-def DVD format in favor of rival Blu-ray. Just as the most recent Consumer Electronics Show was starting, Warner Brothers announced it was going to produce exclusively Blu-ray formatted high-def DVDs, and now Netflix has said it will stop renting movies in the HD DVD format. And on the same day, Best Buy announced it would only recommend Blu-ray DVD players to customers. John, as a Netflix customer, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, I'm a Netflix customer, and I'm a happy one, but quite honestly, I'm not even interested in the least in the HD DVD or Blu-ray formats because I don't have a player for either one.
Right.
And I'm not really interested in even pursuing either one until they work it out. I'm not a fan of either one. I don't know enough about the features, in fact, to even care that much. I mean, I know that they have, various pros and cons to each format, but obviously HD DVD is just not going to make it. I mean, there's too much oppression to the format. So, I'm glad I didn't make any investments in any, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 players before they, you know, realized what they were going to do. I'm a pretty late adopter when it comes to that sort of a thing.
Right. And, especially when there's dueling formats.
Right.
You know,
I don't even have an HDTV. So, I mean, when I look at a DVD, I'm usually looking at it on my computer screen in a window that's not full screen. So, I mean, all those extra pixels are really lost on me. And quite honestly, when I stand in those showrooms with the HD sort of staring back at me, yeah, it's pretty, but I mean, when I'm standing in front of a regular TV, I don't miss the fact that I'm not looking at an HDTV. It's only when you're looking at the two side by side that you really get any real recognizance that there's a huge difference. Until I'm sort of forced to get another TV, I'm not even going to worry about it or think about it. Plus, the best thing going on for Netflix right now is the fact that they've opened up all of their 6,000 or so movies. Not all of their 6,000, not all of their movies in their DVD collection, but all the movies that they had available for watch now, they opened up so that you could watch as many as you want in a month, no matter which of your plans you're on. And for me, that's fantastic. If I want to watch a movie, I'm just as happy to be in front of my computer and watch it from there. I really don't care about whether it's high def or not, and I really don't care about whether it comes on a piece of media or not. I just want to be able to see a movie, and that's the great thing about Netflix. I pay my $20 a month, and now, as far as I'm concerned, I not only have the greatest, latest movies within a couple days, but I have these other 6,000 movies I can watch all the time, basically for free, because I wasn't getting that before, and they made that available to me. Plus, they're going to have this set-top box at some point. I mean, they announced the plans for it, and whenever it happens, I'm going to get one as quickly as I can. Because I'd much rather have that $20 a month putting movies directly into my TV than having to wait for DVDs for 3 days. And I don't care so much about ripping them or anything like that. If I'm paying $20 a month and they let me watch as many movies as I want over the set-top box, what do I care? That's a great entertainment dollar. And they're sure that I'm not ripping them off.
All right, I was trying to talk some people into going the Netflix way, and I don't know if I was making a strong enough argument. I think I may have to hire your assistance.
I'll sell Netflix to anybody. It's a great service that everybody should consider. If you like movies and you don't care so much about quality, but care more about either online community or rating capabilities or, you know, getting a good sense of whether a movie's actually good, every time I've ever gone against the grain as far as rating on Netflix, I've been disappointed. In other words, if it tells me that I'm not going to enjoy something and I go ahead and get it anyway because I say, how bad could it possibly be? I get so disgusted with it, usually, that I end up not even watching the whole thing and putting it in the envelope and throwing it back. But when it says I'm really going to love something, usually it's right. It has a lot of data. It's like it's got the same sort of level of rating engine that I think that Pandora has.
Well, moving on, the other thing I want to talk about, and people may have seen this on our blog, the Microsoft bid for Yahoo gave rise to the Microsoft Keep Your Evil Grubby Hands Off Our Flickr group at Flickr.com. At the time of this recording, the anti-Microsoft Flickr photo group has roughly 3,600 members. If you have been to our site recently, you probably saw the slightly obscene piss-off graphic expressing the sentiments of many Flickr users.
Slightly obscene.
Yeah, slightly. There are many, many more images in the pool, and some are even a bit more civilized, such as a Flickr-colored blue and pink window screen of death. But there is definitely a lot of anger out there amongst Flickr users. Actually, I haven't joined the group yet, but hopefully by the time this podcast goes online, I will be. But, we should probably try and whip something up to join the fray, since obviously the fight to save Flickr from Microsoft is far from over.
Absolutely. I think it's a done deal. It's just a matter of time and money.
Right. I mean, it's once Microsoft, you know, ups the ante. It's
once they find out what number Yahoo wants, that's really what's going on right now.
Right. But now it's time for the Technology and the Arts events calendar.
Here is your Technology and the Arts events calendar. Video Stuff, Electronic Gaming Through the Years, takes place at the Orange County Regional History Center in Orlando, Florida, now through April 13, 2008. The exhibit marks key developments in arcade games, video consoles, and computer game technology, and illustrates the importance and relevance of these toys. The show explores gaming's history, as well as its cultural and sociological influences, past, present, and future. For exhibit information, visit www.thehistorycenter.org or call 1-800-965-2030. The 621 Gallery in Tallahassee, Florida presents Connected from February 1st through February 29th, 2008. Artists Matthew Borgen of Philadelphia, Jeff Eisenberg of San Francisco, and Charles Matson Loom of Minnesota explore the internal relationships between language, science, and history. For more information, visit www.621gallery.org or call 850-224-6163. Star Wars, Where Science Meets Imagination, runs from February 9th through May 4th, 2008, at the Franklin Institute's Mandel Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The exhibit, featuring Star Wars artifacts like Luke Skywalker's original landspeeder from Episode 4 and scale models of X-Wing, Y-Wing, and TIE fighters, is organized around solving human needs with two technology themes, getting around and robots and people. For more information, visit www.fi.edu or call 215-448-1200. And coming April 25th through April 28th, 2008, is the 33rd Annual Trenton Computer Festival at the College of New Jersey in Ewing Township, New Jersey. Created in 1976 by Sol Liebes and Alan Katz, the Trenton Computer Festival is the longest-running computer festival of its kind in the world. Professional seminars will be held on Friday, April 25th, with the rest of the weekend featuring an outdoor flea market, an indoor exhibit and sales area, and general speaker sessions. For more information, visit www.tcf-nj.org. To stay informed about events related to technology and the arts, please remember to check out the Technology and the Arts events page at techarts.wordpress.com. Well, it looks like we are just about at the end of another Technology and the Arts podcast. John, anything you would like to share with the audience?
Well, as always, I'd like to say to our listeners that if they have an idea for a story or know about a show or event related to technology or art, to let us know about it by emailing us at technology.arts@gmail.com. Also, feel free to send an email just to say hi. And you're always welcome to leave a comment on the Technology and the Arts blog at techarts.wordpress.com.
Well, that closes the curtain on another Technology and the Arts podcast. Stay tuned for more news and resources related to technology and the arts when we come back with our next show on Wednesday, March 5th, 2008. Until then, for Technology and the Arts, this is Brian Kelly.
And this is John Lemazny. Take care.
The views expressed by the hosts of Technology and the Arts are not necessarily those of guests of the program. Conversely, thoughts and opinions expressed by guests of Technology and the Arts are not necessarily shared by the hosts. For more information about the podcast you have just heard, please visit Technology and the Arts on the web at techarts.wordpress.com.